Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Good morning and welcome to the Roundtable Book Pick segment of the week. We always love when we get to do book picks and have our wonderful independent booksellers come to our studio, tell us wonderful books that have hit the shelves in their stores and elsewhere, and really, really fun because we get many different perspectives, and we always love when Jackie Callahan joins us. Jackie is of the Golden Notebook and has been keeping track of literary pursuits that are worth our precious time, and she joins us this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's great to be here, Joe. Thank you.
All right. So until we get our keisters down to Tinker Street and head into the Golden Notebook, what should we be thinking about?
There's so many books this spring. It's really, really incredible. So many big books coming down the pike. And there's so many still amazing books from the fall season that continue to be relevant. And the first one that I want to talk about is a book by Ulibis that came out this fall called On Immunity and Inoculation. Vaccines are safe. Vaccines are effective. The question of whether vaccines cause autism is not even subject for scientific debate anymore. It's been settled. And yet, we have a measles outbreak that started in California, centered around Disney World, finding unvaccinated kids who are not immunized against measles. We have a lot of resistance demographically. Sometimes that's in very well-educated parts of our community. We have problems of under-vaccination in parts of our community that are not as well off. In On Immunity, Eula, it's an incredible book. It's an insightful, nuanced book that looks to reconcile the author's feelings and questions about her journey on whether to immunize or not immunize her child. She looks at the real fear of infection, the fear of imagined risks of vaccination. Her book combines metaphor, myth, science, sociology, philosophy, and politics in considering a culture of anxiety around the issue. It's so interesting to me how information and good information often does not add up to knowledge and practice. And I think that in this book, she is really exploring that. We're following kind of the train of her mind as she's going over to immunize or not immunize. And it's such a good, well-considered book. There's no other book like this. She teaches at, I believe, Northeastern University. She teaches writing. Her dad was a physician. But she approaches the issue as someone who is trying to do the best for her kid and trying to take in all of the knowledge and information to make a good decision. Vaccination works by enlisting the majority in the protection of the minority, and ultimately, Eula does immunize her child, but it's such a good book, and it pushes away a lot of the noise on the internet. It pushes away a lot of the anecdote that one can experience as a parent. The plural of anecdote is not data. An anecdote doesn't add up to the right thing to do, and this book starts teasing it apart. It also addresses how, you know, should we negate the responsibility to one's own children who don't have the agency to decide for themselves about certain things? And this actually leads to my second book, which I was going to talk about, which is coming out this March, and it's by Paul Offit, and it's called Bad Faith: When Religious Belief Undermines Modern Medicine. And Paul Offit is a professor of pediatrics at the University of Pennsylvania and head of infectious disease at the Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. And he's written several books about vaccination, and he's been on the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. And in this book, what he's kind of looking at is the issue that many states in many states, it's legal for parents to deny their children care for religious reasons. And he takes this apart by looking at sort of well-known religious communities, Amish, or even to use and in the Amish community, they do not vaccinate. He also looks at, for instance, the practice of circumcision among ultra-Orthodox and some of the outbreaks of herpes that is centered around that. And that's recently been an issue again in New York City. And it is a very interesting book and kind of talks in a different way with the On Immunity book. So I recommend both these books highly. On Immunity is fantastic. I think everyone should read it.
On Immunity by Yula Biss and Bad Faith, When Religious Belief Undermines Modern Medicine by Paul Offit, which comes out in just a few weeks.
The next book is called Afterbirth, and it's by Elissa Albert, who's actually a local Albany writer.
Indeed.
And this book just came out this month. It is so good. It is so incredible. It's such a unique book. I feel that it's a brilliant book. And actually, there is a great quote in a review of it that I would like to read. And I think it's very apt. What this book does, it cuts open the body of literature in mothering, birth, feminism, female friendship, female hateship, whether academic treatise or poem or novel, and wrenches out something new. In this book, Elissa Albert is, the main character is Ari, who is a year past just having her first child. And it is, in the book, it's sort of in her mind and following her journey. It works in kind of the deep emotional places of what the experience is after you have a kid. It works in the deep physical places of, did you have control over your birth or not control over your birth? It talks about parenting or the lack of parenting that one might have experienced and how that plays out in trying to deal with all the challenges of mothering or parenting a new baby. Aria is dealing with all these things and trying to find a society of women that she can relate to that would be helpful in dealing just with her daily life. And ultimately, she comes to find a friend in Mina, who is teaching at the same university that her husband, Ari's husband, is. And Mina is pregnant and has a baby. And they do end up forming a very intimate, solid, fantastic female friendship that does center around the care of their babies. This book is hilarious. It's entertaining. It's political. It's feminist. It breaks the mold on books about mothering and parenting. I think it's a really important book. Alyssa's been doing events in the area. She's going to be in the Woodstock Writers Festival.
Yes.
In a couple weeks. And I just, it's such a good book. Please read it.
It is a great book. She'll be on our book show in a few weeks, and we're very excited to have her. It's just a terrific read. Elissa Albert's Afterbirth.
So the next book that I wanted to talk about, and I guess if there's a theme of the books that I'm talking about today, it has to do with ideas and the persistence of ideas in face of all sorts of change and sometimes changing the way that we perceive things as what Elissa's book does. But a lighter subject, Stuart Onan's West of Sunset, which is a novel about F. Scott Fitzgerald and Zelda, and specifically the last 3 years of Fitzgerald's life when he's relocated to L.A. He's landed a juicy contract to write films. Zelda is in a sanatorium in North Carolina. Their daughter, Scotty, is at Vassar, and he is trying to pay the bills, and he's trying to do the best he can. And he's living in this apartment complex, which was truly real in Fitzgerald's life, called the Garden of Allah, and all these famous people live there. Some of them old friends of his, Dorothy Parker, for instance. Humphrey Bogart lives there. And it's a book that sort of emotionally traces, you know, the last 3 years of his life as he is trying to succeed at screenwriting, but not really, trying to defeat his alcoholism, sort of, and trying to produce great work, and also trying to keep a semblance of his old family life with Zelda and Scotty, and then also have a new relationship with Sheila Graham, who's a gossip columnist, English gossip columnist living in L.A. The most effective parts of the book, the most interesting parts of the book, are, of course, the parts about Zelda,
yes,
when he's going to visit her in North Carolina and going on outings in the car and just all of their, what their relationship was and what she's like now. And it's a really, really good read. If you're inclined to read books like The Paris Wife, for instance, this is very up your alley. If you're interested in Fitzgerald and Zelda, and so many people are, it definitely adds to that body of work.
It is Stuart Arnett, who I love anyway, by the way. He's just a great novelist.
What a great guy.
Yes. West of Sunset is the new book, and this one is terrific and, yeah, a lot of fun. It's West of Sunset, published by Viking, and great book. Thank you.
The next book is an ideas book. It's called How We Got to Now, Six Innovations That Made the Modern World, and it's by Stephen Johnson. And this is actually the first book that I've read by Stephen Johnson. He's very, very popular, and he's written many books about all sorts of interesting idea-driven things. And basically, what he's doing in this book is looking at the question of how ideas and new spaces get into the world. And he has, the book is divided into six innovations, okay? Glass, cold, sound, clean, time, and light. And so, for instance, in talking about glass, he talks about how glassmakers in the 13th century escape from Constantinople to Venice, okay? And they need a way to heat up, right? The furnaces have to get to 1,000 degrees in order to make glass. Everyone in Venice is very nervous about having them actually be anywhere near their house. So they put them on the island of Murano, away from all the wooden buildings. And in doing that, they concentrate in one place sort of the technological edge, the innovators of the 13th century. And that, the glassmakers of Murano become an innovation hub. It's so interesting. And Johnson, throughout the book, he's connecting ideas and history in unusual ways that sort of illuminate how things are done. So to take the subject of light, he one of the stories he talks about is Jacob Riis, who of course was a famous reformer, and he's seeing all the atrocities in the Five Points area of New York City, and he's, you know, writing about it and he's drawing pictures, but he really feels like that a photograph photograph was a new technology then, would do it. However, he can't take a picture inside. There's no light. But the French had just developed the sort of, you know, blowtorch, the flash photography. And he takes that. He takes pictures inside the tenement. He uses the new light technology actually to produce a book that includes the photos. And then he goes on a magic lantern tour of the book of the United States, and uses technology to sort of expose how people are living and also change their lives. It's so cool. It's such a cool book.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Other books that I want to talk about, one that I didn't bring with me, and I know someone talked about it last week, but I just loved it, and it's coming out in a few weeks, is Dead Wake, which is Eric Larson's new book. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a huge book. I love books about that make history popular, that make history accessible, that are going to lead people to delve further into the First World War. Dead Wake is about the Lusitania and its journey from New York City to when it was bombed by a German U-boat in the sea, the Irish Sea. It's about the submarine technology. It's about the early days of I guess, spying and eavesdropping. It's about Room 40, which was the room in London where the English could hear the submarine captains in the U-boats, you know, talking in code. It's about bookmaking, and sort of there's an interesting book history in there where someone on the ship who's a very successful bookseller in Massachusetts has an original Dickens with all this very important notes in the marginalia that would help explicate the book. It's such a good book. Look for it on shelves in the next couple of weeks. And also our friends at Oblong have like an amazing event.
Yes.
In a few weeks.
And we're doing one up in at Northshire and
so cool.
Manchester. And I'll be interviewing Eric Larson.
So
that'll
cool.
be very cool. So it's Dead Wake by Eric Larson. And that's next week.
Yes. Let's see. Two other books that I wanted to talk about that are by local authors in Woodstock and are both fantastic. If you are going to read any book about a psychic this year, you should definitely read the memoir The Reluctant Psychic by Susan Saxman, and this is written with Perdita Finn. And this is about Susan lives in Woodstock. She is so reluctantly a psychic, and this is her journey of discovering what her talent is, to trying to escape her talent, to accepting her talent. And it's also the story of her and her mom. It is such a good, relatable book, The Reluctant Psychic.
The Reluctant Psychic, and we have 30 seconds.
Unrequited by Lisa Phillips is such an amazing book. Unrequited Women and Romantic Obsession. We were talking a lot about it at Valentine's Day, of course. But I think that there is not only women, but anybody can get in a bad way with relationships sometimes. Mm-hmm. And Lisa is describing her journey with that in this book. And it is so good. It's so illuminating. And I think a guide to oneself in many ways.
All great stuff. For more information on the Golden Notebook in Woodstock and the great work they do, you can go to their website, goldennotebook.com, or visit them at 29 Tinker Street in Woodstock. Jacqueline, great to see you again. Thank you very much. We look forward to talking very soon.
Yes.
Always great to see you. Thank you.
Again,
goldennotebook.com for the full list. You can also find it on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. We'll be back after the short break.